You're listening to A Conduit's Diary. This is a podcast about me, Rachel, and my experiences as I investigate paranormal activity as a conduit. This is rated R for explicit because I do have a little bit of a foul mouth. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe and rate this podcast wherever you listen to it.
Let's get started with episode 47, Through the Static. Summer means a lot of things in my life. First of all, it's too hot to function. Some may not consider the month of May to be summer, but here, it's when the temperature starts to flirt with 100. It's when I want nothing more than to stay inside in front of a fan. Second, chaos erupts at the rescue. Don't ask me why. In the winter, the snowbirds take over the city of Phoenix. In other places, the color of leaves change to mark the seasons. Here, the license plate colors change. Once the snowbirds vacate, everyone decides they want a cat or a dog. Third, it's Anthony's birthday. But I'm growing. Last year, I only spent half of the day locked in my room. It's a huge improvement. Because of the sudden influx of people wanting to stare at our collection of kittens, I find my spare time runs thin. I spend more time cleaning goopy kitten eyes than I do sleeping. It's pure luck I'm not currently ankles deep in bottle babies. I blame the fact that all the new volunteers are in high school and somehow convince their sex ed teacher to let them raise kittens instead of fake babies. I'm not sure if something you can kennel is equivalent, but I'm neither a parent nor a teacher. This is all to say, I'm exhausted. Summer is hard. Harry is insufferable ever since we solved his string of Northern Arizona missing cases. And I've run out of explanations for the weird staircase and its assortment of talismans. Then there's the weird goo from the other side and the fact that I can sometimes feel it brushing against our world closer than it ever has before. So forgive me for taking a nap at my desk. It wasn't long, maybe an hour, and only kind of bled into my lunch hour. I was rudely awoken by one of the volunteers, who peered into my office with a look of pure guilt on her face. I'm not known for being the kindest director in the rescue, but you needed to be a little rude when it came to rescue. Not every case is fixable, and there are things worse than death. Explaining that to a board of directors who've never touched an animal before means you gotta be a little bit of a bitch. Yeah, I asked. There's some lady here for you, she said. Her gaze darted to the hallway and back. The last time some lady came here for me, it was Haley. See, episode 7 and episode 30. Was Vince back to cursing her or whatever? Okay, let her in, I said, waving. It didn't occur to me until the woman appeared in my doorway that if this had been Haley, the young volunteer would be ecstatic and doing cartwheels down the hallway just to be in her presence. Her nervousness made sense. The woman was older, perhaps in her late 60s. She reminded me a little of my mother. She had the long wavy hair with streaks of gray, a flowing dress, and smelled strongly of patchouli. She smiled widely when she saw me, elbowing her way into my office and slamming the door behind her. Rachel Smith, at last. Only she didn't call me Rachel Smith. She called me by my real name. At first, this didn't surprise me. It's not as though I use my alias around the rescue. I assumed she was a foster or someone who donated a lot. Hello, I don't think we've met, I said, waving her to sit on one of the folding chairs I had around my office. She plopped down on one, not bothering to remove the squeaker toy before she did. It filled the office with the loud sound and, I'm sure, alerted every dog in the facility. No, we haven't, but I know all about you. She settled herself comfortably and wagged a finger at me. I raised my eyebrows. Oh, well, is everything okay? She scoffed. I think you know it's not okay. Something's going on around here. Something wonky. I rubbed my forehead, feeling the lines of my desk pressed into the skin. I was suddenly worried she was on the board of directors, or maybe she was a huge donor. What would she think about catching me clearly having a nap at work? You know, she added, her gaze darting to the floor a few times, suggestively. I looked down, half expecting to see a dog turd or something. Instead, I just saw the floor. Yeah, it wasn't exactly clean, but it wasn't dirty either. Well, I'll be sure to let her vacuum through here. She interrupted me with a hearty laugh. Don't play coy. I know you felt it before because I've heard it. Something is amiss over there, and it's liable to spill any minute. The slow cogs of my brain finally turned into position. This woman was not talking about the rescue, or my office, or me falling asleep. I'm a bit confused, I said carefully. So am I, and I think you're the only person who can solve it, or at least get it right, she said, throwing her hands in the air. I suddenly wished we had security. Okay, well, it was nice to meet you, Miss... I trailed off, aware she never said her name, and the volunteer never offered it. Gretchen, and I'm not going anywhere until we hash this out, me and you. Come on, we gotta figure this out before it's too late. Things are getting dire over there. Over there? I echoed. I hoped desperately she was making vague references to something within the rescue. I was never that lucky. Somehow this woman knew who I was and what I could do. Now, how do I get her out of here without causing a scene? There, she said, her arms jerking as she pointed animatedly at the floor. I think you're in the wrong place. This is a rescue. We don't have a basement, I tried. I hoped she was some weirdo that thought euthanized animals ended up in dog food or something. They came by every so often, usually posing as inspectors to try to prove we sold the bodies or something. They'd never tried this tactic before, but I didn't put anything past them. Rachel, dear, you are a conduit and you can see into the other side. If you need help realizing that, then I'm glad I've been called to help you, she said. The word shocked me, mostly because she thought I didn't know, or I wouldn't accept it. Against my better judgment, I laughed. This visibly upset her. Laugh all you want, but you need to buck up and accept what God gave you. God didn't give me this. A demon did. My great-grandmother asked for it. So let's start there. Who the hell are you, Gretchen? And what do you want? And how did you find me? Maybe the volunteer was right to be a little scared of me. After dealing with literal ghosts and demons, it took a lot more than some rude people to upset me. Gretchen blinked at me, then shook her head. No, it's a gift. Semantics. What do you want? To fix this, she said, but she was hesitant now. Of course, finding out that I wasn't gifted this shit by angels or something deterred her. It was easier to deal with what I was if it was celestial, not a curse. That was unforgivable. And what is this, Some disturbance while they fight over who's in charge? I don't want anything to do with that. Maybe a change in leadership is what's needed. Gretchen's eyes widened. Change in leadership? What? She trailed off, shaking her head. No, I heard your name. I heard them say your name. Who? Who said my name? Her half sentences finally pierced the haze of sleep deprivation, but only succeeded in making me angry. My radio, she yelled, standing. My radio is a direct link to the other side, and I can hear what goes on there. Of all the things I'd heard over the years, this had to be the wildest. I try not to use the term crazy, because my own personal experiences would definitely lead to a professional to diagnose me as that. I know there are a range of mental illness, and crazy is dismissive and reductive. However, having some woman I'd never met before show up at my office and tell me she heard about me from a radio that talks to the other side was crazy. Well, in that case, I said, unable to help myself. I know how it sounds, Gretchen said, sitting back down. She buried her head in her hands, shaking it a bit as she did so. But I found this radio a few years ago. At first, I thought I could just hear intercepted messages from other people in the area. It was soothing. I live alone. I get lonely. It didn't take long for me to realize there were a lot of different voices, which didn't make sense. I thought, a radio picking up the neighbors, it should be the same neighbors. But it's not. It's different people. Then I started to really listen. I heard names. I'd look them up and see they'd recently passed away. I thought I was listening to a cemetery or a mortuary, but the more I listened, the more I realized the names were from all over the country. Other countries, too. Who would be talking about all these different dead people from all over the world using all sorts of different voices? As I listened harder, I heard other things. Plans. Sometimes it would be events that would come to fruition, like horrific events. I tried to stop a few. That was a disaster. I ended up on a list. I couldn't tell them where I heard the information. You know how the government is. They'd confiscate the radio and I'd end up missing. Now I just buy burner phones and call into those places with threats so they're vacant. I'm sorry. Are you telling me you have a radio that lets you listen in on terrorist attacks? I interrupted. I was having a hard time seeing the connection. No, I have a radio that communicates with the other side, and I can hear the plotting and planning that goes on. Possessions, usually. They influence bad things like theft or whatever. I can listen to the whole of the other side, listening to the bad things they plan. I thought back to Katrina, see episode 35, Don't Blame the Harbinger, and her wish to head off bad things, how she felt compelled to go places, or how she saw creatures that herald doom. Did Gretchen have a one-way listening device into their network? Could she hear how they planned and plotted? I know, it doesn't explain the dead. I think the names I hear are signs of payment or those who've sworn their soul to demons or devils. I haven't pieced that one out yet, she admitted. But lately, it's been turmoil. Less of the talk is focused on their world and more on this world. Well, that's good, isn't it? Less bad things happening to people here, I offered. She shook her head. That's just it. The worst things are over there. The worst things get here. Those that thrive on chaos are getting stronger and stronger. That's not the type that should lead down there. Okay, I said, because I wasn't sure what else to say. Somehow this woman knew my name and what I could do. I wondered if she'd got it from someone else and thought she could blackmail me or something. Joke's on her. I'm poor. Okay, she echoed, hopefully, as if I'd agreed to anything. I wasn't even sure what she was asking or saying. Okay, I believe you, I said, because what else was I supposed to do? Ask to see the radio? I'd rather not. I liked having the barrier between myself and that world. Sure, it's a barrier that sometimes broke down and threw me into it while I was trying to sleep. I'd be a fool to put some communication device anywhere near me. Well, of course you do, she shot back, her brows furrowing in anger. But are you willing to help? I haven't heard a question yet. All I've heard is that you can hear things on the radio that predict bad events. Sounds like you've got it under control with your burner phone. What am I supposed to do? I asked with a shrug. Fix it. They've been talking a lot about you lately, about keeping you away from there. They say it's dangerous for them, that you're the only one that can stop them. My eyebrows always defy me. I could feel them climbing up my face in absolute disbelief. Me? How am I supposed to stop? Who is it exactly? The other side, she said, annoyed. Okay, who on the other side? What on the other side? You know it's a big world down there, right? You've heard the countless voices that come across your radio. You've heard names of people in other countries. I need more details than a bunch of chatter about my name. She deflated, obviously not having considered this. It's always been so easy to those who don't experience it. Even Hema, who's gone on actual hauntings with me before, who's a literal banshee, doesn't always get it. Just reaching over to the other side and squash them. Just put some rat bait out. Just this, just that. As if it wasn't a complex world that tried to bleed into ours and in the process disrupted the lives of hundreds of people every day. Just come listen to it, she offered. A last ditch. The last thing I wanted to do was listen to that radio. What if it was more than just a radio? What if it imprinted on me or tracked me? What if? Curiosity may have killed the cat, but the cat also has 9 lives. Okay, I told her. As far as I know, I've got a few lives left. Gretchen's home is exactly as you're imagining it. It was a veritable hoarder's paradise, located in a remote area of the Gold Canyon / Apache Junction region. This is a beautiful area, right at the base of the Superstition Mountains, where multi-million dollar homes sit next to dirt lots with random RVs parked on them. Gretchen lived in a single-story home that was filled to the brim with random items. She was clearly a collector, I'm just not sure of what. The front yard was covered in trinkets made of melted glass, copper, and plaster. My favorite was a 9-foot copper T-Rex dinosaur with its mouth open in a permanent roar. Thankfully, we moved through her living room quickly and out the back door, where a large shed sat in her yard. Also thankfully, the shed had AC, because at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, it was already 96 degrees. The shed didn't fare much better than the house. It was packed with overflow from her home. She knew where everything was, pointing out collector items she'd acquired at garage sales or found at Goodwill. That, she told me, pointing to a painting I didn't recognize, is the most famous painting from Einstein. I didn't know he painted, I said. She laughed and shrugged. A lot of people don't. A man of many talents. We stopped at last on the far end of her shed, where a cluttered table stood. The table was covered in newspaper, magazines, and the radio in question. It looked like any old radio from the 90s. Nothing special, just clunky. I felt drawn to it. I thought it was just nostalgia, you know, for a better time. But now I think it picked me. She looked at the thing with genuine affection. Wow, I said, because what else could I say? It's just a radio. I'm going to turn it on now, she warned me. Nothing could have prepared me for what happened when she flipped the switch. At once, the air was filled with a cacophony of noise, like thousands of voices all at once. They were loud in a wide assortment of languages. I couldn't resist the urge to put my hands over my ears, trying to block out the noise. It was everywhere, in the air, in my head, vibrating through my bones. For a moment, I worried I'd be sick all over her old magazine collection. She noticed my distress and turned it off immediately. What happened? She asked, eyes wide. How can you stand it? It's so loud. There's so many voices. How could you pick out a thing? I asked. So many voices? She echoed quietly, her gaze trailing over the radio. What did you hear? I asked. She shrugged, suddenly hesitant. Nothing, at least not this time, just static? Static. Can you try turning it down, like all the way down, and then we can try again? I asked. If she just heard static, maybe she had the volume cranked all the way up. Maybe she didn't have a special radio, and it was just the white noise that sometime existed between this world and the other side. Still didn't explain why it nearly blew out my eardrums. All right, she said, suddenly happy for something else to do. She turned the knob all the way down and flipped the switch. The noise started up again, quieter this time, but still enough to set my teeth on edge. I couldn't pick apart anything that was being said. It was a constant stream of words and noises and energy. She saw my distress and turned the radio off, looking guilty. I'm sorry, I thought... She trailed off with a shrug. No, it's legit. It can dip into the other side. I'm not sure why you can pick out voices. All I hear is... I trailed off. The look of horror on her face made me fill the silence with a lot of noise. Voices, energy, thoughts. Oh, good, she said, putting a hand to her chest. I thought you were going to say screaming and torture or something. I couldn't rule that out, but I didn't say that to her. She was distressed enough by my initial reaction. I decided to keep anything else to myself. I just laughed, trying to fight off an impending panic attack. "Do you want the radio?" she asked. I shook my head, perhaps a little too hard. "No, please, keep it. If you hear anything more specific, tell me." In truth, I wanted to get as far away from the thing as possible. I tried not to look at it. "All I know is they've been talking about you. Some good, some bad. Some blame you for whatever's happening. Others say it was inevitable. Some want you to do something. Some want you as far away as possible." "What do you think the solution is?" I asked her. She was quiet for a long moment before she spoke again. I think whoever is making moves over there, they're really bad. Worse than whoever was there before. Everyone is afraid of them. And if they're not afraid, they're excited. Like the new boss has some dirty tricks up his sleeve. I don't think they're good ones either. What a thought, that a hierarchy existed over there, and that it could be important to life on this side of the divide. Even more hilarious is the thought that me, a 30-something-year-old woman whose biggest achievement is keeping bottle-fed kittens alive, could do something about it. "I did have a question," she said hesitantly. She grabbed the radio and flipped it over to expose the bottom. "The symbol, what do you think it means?" There, at the bottom of the radio, was a single symbol etched into it. It looked like someone took a pocket knife and carved in it, kind of like how students used to carve names on wooden desks when I was a kid. It looked like a starburst, except the bottom half of it had straight flames, and the top half had wavy flames. The likelihood of it being something a kid carved was very high, but you never know. I took a picture of it on my phone. "No idea," I told her with a shrug. "Huh, well, there's no batteries in this thing, and you can't plug it into a wall, yet it still runs. Strange item." "Where'd you find it?" I asked. "Antique store in Tucson. Well, more of a pawn shop than an antique store. I had a flat tire on my way to New Mexico, ended up in Tucson for 2 nights. Cute city. Ever been?" "A pawn shop? In Tucson?" I asked slowly, a feeling of dread settling in my stomach. "A pawn shop, close to, street name redacted, area of Tucson, redacted." Gretchen frowned. "Yeah, that's the one. You know about it?" Oh, did I know about it? The owner was Hema's arch nemesis. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We're going to take a few month break, one or two, just kind of depending. Kitten season is wild. Summer is wild, and I plan on not really leaving my house much in this heat. Thanks for being so supportive over the last few months and weeks as we try and get the podcast back into action and rolling. And I also want to thank everyone who reached out to me about my mom. I still really appreciate it. And lastly, thanks for being so understanding of all the noise in the background. I've got some upper respiratory infection puppies that I'm currently trying to manage, and thankfully they're doing well, but they sound snotty and gross. So we'll see you next time.
A Conduit's Diary is created by me, written and produced by me, mixed horribly and edited by me. Cover art created by BMC Design on Fiverr. Music, intro and outro, created by Chris Hornberger.